All right, so today we're going to talk about how to study the Bible. This is a very practical Sunday morning message this morning, but I'm excited about it. I'll tell you what will make the difference in any person's life is if they personally get into the Bible. A sad thing of our day is that we have the Bible so available, and yet very few people give God the time of day, right? And you know what? A believer will never be victorious in their lives unless they personally learn to study the Bible. And so it's very important. We saw, and we'll go there in your scripture, just because I want you to be there in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I know I have all the scripture pretty much written out in this handout, and that will help us to see it and to move along to get through that in a timely manner. But I do want you to notice this scripture in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to go ahead and read beginning with verse 14, just to get a little bit of the context. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. The Bible says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." And so we see God's warning here through the Apostle Paul to Timothy. This book was written to a young man who was ministering the word of God. You will notice in chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul encourages Timothy, who he calls his son, which is his son in the faith. He mentored Timothy. And he says in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So Paul is really encouraging Timothy to grow and to use what he has been taught and to go deeper and to communicate to others. And so the verse here, our key verse for this study, verse 15 there, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." There's no question of what Timothy should be studying, okay? There's no question. It's God's holy word, the word of truth. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed." I've looked up a few words to get us understanding the passage, and the word "study" is not an unusual word. It's one we're familiar with. And the idea here is to exert oneself, to give diligence, okay? And so that makes sense, that we need to take it seriously. I do want you to understand that in this passage, this is not given as a suggestion or a possible option. This is actually in the imperative mood, and it's like, study, Timothy, study the word of God so that you can be a faithful servant of God. Then we come to some key words in verse 15, which says, "rightly dividing." Do you see that? Rightly dividing the word of truth. The words "rightly dividing" mean to handle aright, to teach the truth directly and correctly. Literally, it means to cut it straight. To cut it straight. So God says, here's what I want you to do. As you come to the word of God, I want you to be diligent in study. And I want you to make sure you cut it straight. In other words, that you handle it correctly. God commands us to be diligent students of his word. that we might be pleasing servants of His, faithfully living, accurately teaching, and correctly applying His inerrant word. His inerrant word. There are many who twist the Scriptures, who misuse the Scriptures. And so, you know, the challenge is that sometimes we would rather be fed than do our own study, right? We'd rather search YouTube and say, you know, I got a question, and so I'll get the answer, right? Quick. Just want it quick without the work. And the danger with something like that is that we can actually potentially, not always, but potentially be misled, right? Because what did God say? The psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet," right? "And a light to my path." Thy word. So you know what? God didn't say, "Good books are a light to my path." God didn't say, you know, YouTube is a light, or Dr. So-and-so is a light to my path. But God said, "Thy word." His word is what needs to guide us. And so we need to be students of the Bible. In Acts 17, you've probably heard of the Bereans, right? And I've got the reference there. The Bereans, the Bible says, Paul said they were more noble than those in Thessalonica because when they heard the word, they received it and they studied. They searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. And so the Bereans, they listened with open ears when Paul came to preach. They looked in their Bibles. They is it so? What Paul said, is that right? And they did their own study. And they were students. And Paul notes that as a good quality, to be a student of the Bible, to search the Scriptures. And so we need to be making sure that we are not just following Dr. So-and-so. I've seen people get off track because they latched on to a certain teacher, and they maybe some of what he taught was good, but other things were a little off, and it actually can derail people, can derail families from the right path. So what we want to follow is the Word of God, not Dr. So-and-so or teacher so-and-so or such-and-such a book, but rather the Bible. If we would give God the time of day, you'll be amazed at the growth in your life. Sometimes we're so busy that we are not willing to take the time to study God's word. And that's a tragedy. And so I want to encourage you to get to know God well and your Bible well. That will really grow your faith. It's hard to trust someone that you don't know very well. But when you get to know God and His Word, you will grow. Notice 2 Peter here, chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Peter in chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other Scriptures, unto their own destruction." The Apostle Peter in this passage is talking about, we would have to read the whole context. We're just kind of diving in here and understanding what he says about Paul's epistles, the letters that Paul wrote. He says there's some people who twist the Word of God. They do Paul's letters, they do the rest of the Scripture. And that's a key verse to notice there and to take more time to look at on your own. But the word rest is an old English word that the King James Bible employs. And the word rest means to twist, to turn awry, or to torture, literally torture, like constrain it to the point of being so painful, right? To torture the Word of God. In other words, to not use it as it was meant to be used. And so the Word of God can definitely be twisted and misinterpreted and perverted. And so that's why it's important for us to be students of the Bible. Students of the Bible. I want you to take your Bible to Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22. Please notice verse 23. Matthew 22, verse 23. The Bible says, "The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise, the second also, and third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore," here's their question, "therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her." Okay. So here's the Sadducees, which the Bible notes that they had a preconceived idea that was incorrect. Notice verse 23. "The same day there came to him the Sadducees," notice, "which say there is no resurrection." When we study the Bible, we need to be careful that we are not bringing our ideas and saying, well, this must fit. I mean, I'm going to make it fit. What I think needs to fit. I need to find a verse to prove what I already believe. That's the wrong way to approach God's word. The Sadducees didn't believe there was a resurrection. That's why they're sad, you see. The Sadducees came with that preconceived idea which was unscriptural. And then they posed this way off hypothetical question to Jesus, you know. Just be careful of hypothetical questions that really don't amount to anything, right? The answer doesn't matter, okay? But Jesus, notice what he said. I want to find it here. What did he say? Verse 29. "And Jesus answered and said unto them," read it with me, would you? "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." The Sadducees, with preconceived notions, have a hypothetical question, and Jesus points out the problem. He says, you're making an error because you don't know the Bible, and you don't understand God's power. And so Jesus points people to the scriptures, and he goes on to talk a little more about that. But I just wanted to point out that example of why we need to know the Bible, so we don't err. So we don't come up with wrong ideas. We need that to let the Bible teach us, not try to push our preconceived ideas into the Bible. All right? And so let's get right into it now. On the next page there, how to study the Bible. We're on page 2. I don't have the page numbers marked, but Roman numeral 1. How to study the Bible. Number one, we need to familiarize ourselves with the passage. Familiarize yourself with the passage. If we're going to really study God's word, we've got to spend some time with it. Okay? That is an important thing. You know, it's hard to study something that you don't give the time of day to. And so we need to read. If we're going to study a passage, if there's some verses that, you know, we read in devotions and it's, they just, what is that saying? Or, you know, that's interesting. I'd like to know more about it. It's important for us to read it and make sure we're reading it correctly, that we're really, you know, giving our attention to the passage. But it's also very helpful to read the whole chapter, right? And several times, and perhaps even over a period of several days. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing to meditate on the same portion of Scripture for the whole week? Like, imagine what you're going to get out of it just doing that. But that's just step one. So familiarize yourself. In some cases, you're going to want to read the whole book. Now, I wouldn't say, you know, if you're going to study one of the Psalms, read the whole 150 Psalms. Okay, that's maybe a little, not that it would hurt, but you understand, that's a little broad. But if you're going to study the book of Esther, for example, you're going to want to read the whole book. You're going to be familiar with the whole book. That's going to help a lot. And so in the Gospels, you're going to want to read a chapter or two or three or something surrounding it to get a bit more of the context, okay? God gives a blessing. Notice Revelation 1, verse 3. Blessed are they, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. You know, it's good to listen to the Bible. We have technology today where you can listen to the Word of God, and that's a blessing. I like to listen to the Word of God, and it's a way to meditate on it and to listen to a whole book in a much easier way. Of course, reading it personally gets you more engaged, that's for sure. Joshua 1:8, God says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt..." Next words, meditate therein. We need to chew on things. And so, familiarize yourself, all right? Point number two, utilize a notebook, all right? We're talking about studying the Bible. Use a notebook. It may seem old-fashioned, but I'll tell you what. You need somewhere to write things down. Just scratch paper. You need to jot things down that you're going to, I need to look up that further, and I need to look up that, and here's a word, and key things. You want to write things down, and so you're going to need a notebook. You want to write down your reference of the passage you're working on. You want to write word definitions, related passages, insights along the way, applications, thoughts. There's just all kinds of things that you're going to want a notebook for. If you're attempting to study God's Word without a notebook to write some things down, your study is going to be rather shallow. Write it down. And the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Number three, define unfamiliar and key words. Define unfamiliar and key words. You'll notice that the text verse, I defined a couple of words, okay? And the word study and rightly dividing. Now, when I defined those words, I actually didn't define them in the English dictionary. I defined them in the underlying Greek word, okay? But defining, words in English is great. It's good. If you're able to define the Greek underlying word, that's even better, right? It's just you're getting right to the root, okay? And so you can get a better definition. That might sound, wow, that's overwhelming, but I'll help you to see how that's not so bad. And so number three, define unfamiliar and key words. Notice the example in Nehemiah 8, verse 8. They read the word of God, the book of the law of God, distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand. Listen, God's word is not merely an academic work. Okay, it's not just a textbook, but it is accurate. God gave the words. God, in the original language, God is the one who gave the men what to write. And so it is very helpful, a dictionary and to words that are unfamiliar, as well as key words in a passage. Just like the word study, okay? I think I know what study means. It's painful, right? I know what study is. It's work. It's labor. It's intense. But it helps to look it up and just make sure you're on the right track, okay? And that you got a right understanding of that word. And so God wants us to understand his word. Let's go to the next page, page 3. All right, as we continue talking about defining words, you can use an English dictionary, and I brought a dictionary just for example. I'll have to be honest, I had to blow the dust off, okay? I have this dictionary, it is a wonderful tool. I use electronic versions of this kind of thing, okay? So I don't actually so much use the dictionary. I do electronic version even of the same dictionary. And you can get this dictionary on a smartphone app for is it $1.99 or it might be free. That's Webster's 1828 dictionary. Great dictionary. Also, I've got it in your notes there, Merriam-Webster's online dictionary. That's a really good thing too. I think that one might have been $1.99 in the smartphone app store. And so there's a great way to get your hands on some helpful English dictionaries that are really going to shed some light on some words that might not be so familiar. Okay? Then even better than that is going to the original language. The Old Testament is in Hebrew, the New Testament in Greek. And by means of this other book I'll show you, here's a Strong's. I had to dust this one off too, but because I use the electronic version, okay? But here's Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, right? You can look up anything in the Bible. Obviously, it's based on the King James, which is wonderful. And it has definitions. It has a Hebrew dictionary. It has the Greek dictionary here in the back as well, Greek and Hebrew. So that is a very, very useful tool. And you'll notice here in the little boxes on your notes that the online, in the App Store again for smartphones, online Bible, you search online Bible, and that is what this app is called. And it is the King James version. It is free, it is helpful, and it takes you right to those root words, right to the underlying words of the Greek language in the New Testament or the Hebrew. And you just click on that on your smartphone and it'll bring up that definition of that word using Strong's numbers. It's really easy. I can even do it. And it's a great study tool. All right? So I really encourage you to look into that means of study. Number four, as we move along. Number four, ask the Lord for understanding. God's word is not like any other book. God's word has treasures and secrets that are only understood with God's help. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And so we need to seek God. Second, or number five, I should say, consider the context of the passage. We're going to study a passage, we need to look at the context. Ask some questions. Who wrote it? Who were they writing to? Why were they writing? Were they dealing with an issue? What's the background? Ask those questions. Considering the context helps us rightly interpret the Bible, what the Bible is saying. And so, rightly dividing the word of truth. I've got some examples there. I'm not going to have time to go into those examples there. So you'll have to do that on your own. Number six, at the top of the next page, compare the passage or the topic you're studying with the rest of Scripture. Compare the passage with the rest of Scripture. Notice 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. The underlined part says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The best thing you can do in Bible study is define words and look at the rest of Scripture to find the same topic other places or supportive passages. That is just immensely profitable. Immensely. Realize that the Word of God does not contradict itself. Notice Psalm 119, verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. See whether or not there are other passages that support what I think this passage is saying. And again, I've got some examples there, but I don't have time to go into all of them. But you know what? Think about a puzzle for a moment. A puzzle, like a big puzzle, like a 5,000-piece puzzle. Right? Those are difficult puzzles, okay? The Bible is like a big puzzle. And every piece, even in a 5,000 piece puzzle, every piece has one place where it fits, right? One place. And if those pieces are not put in the right place, but try to fit them in the wrong place, it really begins to mess up the whole puzzle. The whole picture isn't turning out right, okay? When we study the Bible, it's important for us to do our homework and seek to get each piece. When we start getting pieces in their right place, the picture starts to come together. That's the way it is with Bible study. All right? Again, I encourage you in the online Bible app, you can look up cross-references on that, and that is a very helpful tool. Here's another thing. When using Strong's numbers, the cool thing is you can find a Strong's number in the passage you're looking at, and you can find that underlying word, and with that number, you can see how is that same Greek word or Hebrew word translated in other places. And that sheds a lot of light. And that'll take you to verses that maybe even talk about the same topic or help you get a fuller definition of what that word means. Because sometimes a Greek word is translated 4, 5, 6, 10 different ways in the King James Bible. And so that's important. That, I'll tell you, in my study, I use these steps all the time. Absolutely all the time. And so that's important. Number 7, rewrite or paraphrase the passage you are studying. Now, you'll notice we're talking about studying God's Word. We're talking about basic Bible study. You do your homework, and then I would encourage you here in step 7 to write it out with the definitions in mind, with all the information in mind that you've been studying. You have a bit of an understanding now in your notebook. Just start to write it out. Use some of your own words. Here's what I did. Notice, this is what I did just last night. Under the big box there, I have paraphrased. Notice, I paraphrased myself, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Notice what I wrote. Due diligence. Now, the verse is study to show thyself approved unto God. I wrote, paraphrasing it, due diligence to present yourself pleasing to the Lord, a servant that has no reason to be feeling shame, correctly using the inerrant word. Now, I'm not about to profess that that's exactly right. I mean, that I just got it perfect. I'm not saying that at all. I think God got it perfect. But working with the text, plugging those definitions in, using your own words, is really important. And it draws out aspects from that verse that you will otherwise not see. Due diligence. It's a command. It actually is. Study is in the imperative mood. So I wanted to give it that force. I thought study was great. It's a great, great word, a great command. But I obviously trying to paraphrase, put it in some different words. Due diligence to present yourself pleasing to the Lord. A servant that has no reason to be feeling shame. Correctly using the inerrant word. The Bible said the word of truth, which is, if God's word is truth, it's inerrant, it's without error. And so I plugged that in there, which I believe is appropriate. Okay, so just notice, I'm working with the text. This isn't, I'm not, I'm just, you're working with that, you're thinking through that passage. And I wrote some devotional thoughts based on it in the blue there. God commands us to be diligent students of his word that we might be pleasing servants of his, faithfully living, accurately teaching, and correctly applying his inerrant word. Now, number 8, and we'll be done. After you have done your homework, I think I got to a couple words missing there. After you've done your homework, should you reference a commentary or two for further insight? Basically, what I'm saying is, don't go to a commentary or another book or something like that before you've done your homework. You're really short-circuiting yourself. If you do your homework, a lot of times, you don't even need to go to a commentary, right? There's, or if you do, it's just to check, you know, did I miss something? Or because you know what? If you come armed with having done the homework yourself, then you read a commentary, you're also going to be able to have more discernment of whether that commentary is truly Bible-based or just some man putting his thoughts out there. Okay? You need that personal study. I'll tell you what, you personally study God's word, it'll make a huge difference in your life. It will. If you don't give God the time of day, you'll see very little of his power in your life. You give God the time of day, you study his word, God will begin to work. For his word is powerful. And it will do surgery, delicate surgery in your life. I hope those things are a help and a blessing to you. Let me put it this way. Those notes, you follow those, that will really help you. I would encourage you to pick out a passage of scripture that you're going to work through and follow those instructions. Begin to work through it. Start with familiarizing yourself, right? And then, what was the next one? Defining key words and unfamiliar words. You work at that. All right? And thank you. This has been kind of a little bit of a different Sunday morning message, but I want to help you to get into your Bible, your own Bible, and study it. God's word means something, and you can understand it with his help if you'll do diligence.